What if everything you believed about immigration was backwards? Most of us have absorbed a simple story. Immigrants take jobs, drain public resources, and threaten community safety. It's a narrative so embedded in our politics that it shapes laws, elections, and dinner table debates. Yet after nearly 25 years of research, the data reveals something startling. This story is almost entirely fiction. Immigration isn't a burden on prosperity, it's the engine that drives it. From investment and innovation to fiscal health and community safety, immigrants contribute positively to virtually everything that makes societies thrive. Idaho made headlines recently with anti-immigrant fury. Residents complained about skyrocketing housing prices, up 19.3% in 1 year, overcrowded schools, traffic jams, and job competition. Mayoral candidates promised to build a $26 billion wall to stop the invasion. The twist? These immigrants weren't from Mexico or India, they were Californians. This domestic migration reveals something profound. The anxieties we attribute to immigration aren't really about borders or legal status. They're about change itself, about communities transforming faster than we can adjust our mental maps. The real question isn't whether immigration helps or hurts, it's why we keep believing the opposite despite overwhelming evidence. Most Americans fail basic immigration quizzes because reality contradicts popular belief. Immigrants increase investment, contribute positively to federal budgets, and are 80% more likely to start businesses than natives. Despite comprising just 14% of the population, they create 36% of U.S. patents. They commit fewer violent crimes than native-born Americans and assimilate at the same rate as historical immigrants. Most arrive through family connections, 67%, not employment, 13.5%. Nearly every assumption contradicts the evidence. America's immigration history resembles a roller coaster. For its first 75 years, borders remained essentially open. Then came the catastrophic 1924 National Origins Act, praised by Hitler, which caused immigrant populations to plummet from 15% to 4.7% by 1970, permanently damaging American innovation and economic growth. The 1965 Immigration and Nationality Act began reversing this trend, but we now face similar xenophobic pressures. As we approach the 100-year anniversary of that disastrous 1924 law, the question is whether we'll repeat history's mistakes or finally learn from them. Polo Campero, a Guatemalan fried chicken chain, followed its customers to America after Central American immigrants began smuggling frozen chicken on flights. Opening in Los Angeles in 2002, it hit $1 million in sales in 47 days. Today, it operates 90 restaurants across 18 states, creating thousands of jobs without subsidies. Compared to Wisconsin's $4 billion Foxconn deal, which promised 13,000 jobs but delivered 281. Immigrants create a conveyor belt, a continuous flow of relationships, trust, knowledge, and ideas between countries. They bridge enormous gaps for expanding companies, unfamiliar language, culture, laws, supply chains, and customer preferences. Korean banks were significantly more likely to establish branches in Chinese provinces with ethnic Korean communities, especially where weak rule of law made trust networks essential. These investment conveyor belts run both ways. When venture capitalists connect with immigrant entrepreneurs in the U.S., these relationships lead to investments in their home countries. For every 6 relationships with Indian immigrants, VCs make 1 investment in an Indian startup, and these immigrant-facilitated investments prove more successful. The 1882 Chinese Exclusion Act significantly reduced modern investment connections to China. States like New York would have double the investment ties to China today without this historical restriction. By age 12, my son Lucas hadn't grown for 2 years. Tests revealed celiac disease. Treatment was simple: eliminate gluten. Lucas quickly grew to normal size and eventually played varsity soccer. This diagnosis was possible because of Dr. Alessio Fasano, an Italian immigrant who revolutionized celiac understanding in America. When Fasano arrived from Naples in 1988, celiac was considered rare in the U.S. His studies revealed it affected 1 in 133 Americans, over 2 million undiagnosed people. While comprising just 16% of inventors, immigrants produced 23% of all patents and influenced 36% when accounting for how they enhance native inventors' productivity. They're twice as likely to collaborate internationally, and immigrant native teams create more innovative combinations than homogeneous groups. When America restricted immigration with the 1924 National Origins Act, it missed 1,165 European scientists, causing a 68% decline in related patents persisting over four decades. Immigrants are 80% more likely to start businesses, founding 25% of all new firms, despite being 14% of the population. They found 48% of venture-backed startups and 44% to 51% of unicorns. Innovation requires connecting dots across different knowledge domains, and immigrants excel as boundary spanners between countries' distinct knowledge pools, uniquely recombining sticky knowledge, ideas deeply embedded in cultural contexts across geographies. When I moved to the U.S. in 2001, visa restrictions barred me from public aid. After an $8,000 emergency room bill wiped out our savings, our growing family reluctantly used WIC, health insurance subsidies, and earned income credits during my PhD. I didn't realize then that government support for immigrants isn't charity. It's an investment with substantial returns. The National Academies of Sciences 2017 analysis found the average immigrant contributes a net $259,000 over 75 years. Across 40 million immigrants, that's $10.3 trillion. First-generation immigrants cost states $1,600 over a lifetime, but their children and grandchildren generate a 4.5x return. With fertility at 1.78, 2022, Social Security faces depletion by 2033 and Medicare by 2031. The economy increasingly depends on immigrant taxpayers as natives age out. American manufacturers face critical shortages, over 2 million positions unfilled by 2030. Katie Mulknight, a Milwaukee staffing agency COO, found solutions in immigrant communities who proved exceptionally hardworking despite language barriers. When asked if immigrants steal jobs, Katie and other manufacturers say natives simply don't want these positions, especially in food processing. The National Academies found no evidence that immigrants take away jobs from natives, with wage impacts small and close to zero. Immigrants are 18% of the workforce, but fill far higher percentages where natives won't, 45% in household services, 36% in clothes manufacturing, 33% in agriculture, and 25 to 32% in hospitality, food production, construction, and manufacturing. When Molly Tibbetts was murdered by an undocumented immigrant in 2018, President Trump weaponized the tragedy to promote anti-immigration policies. Her father pushed back, noting the killer is no more a reflection of the Hispanic community as white supremacists are of all white people. Despite 42% of Americans believing immigrants increase crime, evidence contradicts this fear. Immigrants commit fewer crimes than natives. Undocumented immigrants have 33% lower incarceration rates, while legal immigrants are 66% less likely to be imprisoned. Texas data shows U.S.-born citizens are over twice as likely to be arrested for violent crimes, 2.5 times for drug crimes, and 4 times for property crimes. Your odds of dying in an immigrant-perpetrated terror attack are 1 in 3.6 million. You're 418 times more likely to choke on food. Yet false statistics spread rapidly, creating panic despite the facts. History shows restricting immigration backfires. Depression-era repatriation of 400,000 Mexican Americans resulted in fewer jobs for natives, while Florida's recent SB 1718 has stalled construction sites and left businesses without essential workers. The immigration debate parallels traffic engineering's 85th percentile rule, a counterintuitive approach where speed limits match how fast most drivers naturally travel, prioritizing flow and uniform speeds to reduce accidents. Immigration policy does the opposite, defaulting to restriction rather than facilitation. Our system, shaped by the 1965 Immigration and Nationality Act, dismantled racist national origins quotas, but still reflects century-old restrictionist principles based on fear rather than flow. The refrain, "Why don't they just get in line?" ignores reality. For many undocumented immigrants, no line exists. Indians with graduate degrees face a 195-year wait for employment visas, projected to reach 436 years by 2030. USCIS is currently processing Mexican children's applications from 2001, a 22-year wait. The economy desperately needs talent, yet only 13.5% of permanent residents arrive through employment channels, compared to 65.8% through family reunification. We should approach immigration like traffic, with the default assumption that movement is good. Increase the speed limit to match economic, family, and humanitarian needs. Add more access lanes, especially economic ones, and eliminate the 7% per country limit. Update the system continually, decoupling decisions from congressional gridlock. In a world increasingly defined by walls and fear, we've forgotten what made America exceptional. Not our ability to keep people out, but our capacity to welcome them in.